Welcome to the C3 Church Noosa podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Come on, hug your neighbour. Tell them they look beautiful. Tell them they smell great. Tell them the preaching is going to be amazing this morning. Grab your seats. Thank you, guys. You are phenomenal. Can we just give it up for Jordan and Lozzie this morning? How do you get that sound and that atmosphere out of two people? That is unbelievable. Thank you, guys. Who enjoyed that? That was some great worship. Does it feel dark or is it just me? Is it too dark? Is it good? It's good for you. It's good for me. All right. So this is the last week. Actually, before we start, I really want to welcome Sam and Caroline, two great family friends of ours from the Northern Beaches. Of course, Melissa's parents, Annette and Brian, are here, and it's nice to have you here as well. Always nice to have Brian and Annette here. But Sam and Caroline are just phenomenal people, two of the most generous people on the planet. These guys have been a massive, massive blessing to our family over the years, sourcing us cars, servicing cars. And then what they do also is they run a fantastic mechanics business on the Northern Beaches and detailing business and a whole lot of other things. They get cars, do them up, and then give them away to solo mums and people in need. Can we just thank these guys this morning? They're a massive blessing, and it's really, really cool to have you in church today. God bless. Okay, so through January, we've been focusing on a fresh start, a new day, stepping into the new day that's upon us, leaving the old behind. First week we talked about it, it's a bit messy. Life's a bit messy. We set all these New Year's resolutions, but the fact of the matter is, to get through 2016 well, we just got to realize that life's messy. There's twists, there's turns, there's ups, there's downs. It's okay for life not to work exactly as we thought it would, but just keep going anyway. The next week we're talking about crossing over, getting intentional and crossing over from where I am to where I want to be, from where I am to where God would have me be. And it was sensational. And then last week, Justin's preaching about getting back to the source. It was sensational. If you haven't been here these last 3 weeks, please go to the podcast. Just get online, c3noosa.org, and just listen to the podcast. I probably listen to 4 or 5 podcasts a week. I'm reading books each week. Just feed your soul. Feed yourself. If you want to get through the year, feed yourself. What you feed on grows. Feed yourself the Word of God. Feed yourself sound teaching. Feed yourself worship. Just put worship music on in your car, in your house, whatever you do. Just feed yourself, because the world's trying to get you. The world's trying to contaminate you. It's trying to feed you through the television and the internet and the radio and every other thing and program you for life. Let's just override that and program ourselves. Let's download and program. But it was actually just a sensational week and great preaching. So before I get into my preaching today, I just wanted to kind of recap. Getting back to the source, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us for life. And that's why I read that piece of scripture from Luke 24, the very last words that Jesus left us with. I've been here with you, and I've been doing all these miracles, and I've been leading you and teaching you and bringing wisdom into your world. But now that I'm going, I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into you, because he's going to do what I can't in my absence. And I want you empowered. I want you clothed with power so that you can walk through life in the victory that I have for you. So Justin, and what you may not have known is, for time's sake, he stopped at his 2 points. Stop and drop, which is fantastic, about praying and dropping, and cut and run, leaving the past behind. But I got the extended version this week. I was talking to Justin, and he gave me the extra bonus points. So does anybody want to hear these this morning? Okay. So we had stop and drop, and he came out very dramatically, and he's praying and seeking the Lord. We all need to do that. We need to stop and drop, cut and run. So it's just cutting the past and running towards the future that God has for us. The third point, which he didn't give us for time's sake, was rock and roll. And the fourth point was slip and slide. Now, I don't have time to explain what these are today, but Justin, if you would like to know what rock and roll and slip and slide are, come and talk to Justin after the service, and he'll send you the notes via email. Not really. Not really. That's just me being silly. Actually, I was going to get a few of you out the front this morning to stop and drop and give me 20 or whatever, but then I thought then the rest of you might cut and run, and I'd be left here preaching to Melissa by myself. So we're not going to do that. Come on. You can laugh. It's all right. You're allowed to laugh in church. God is all right with you laughing. You know, we laugh everywhere else. We laugh at work. We laugh at home. We laugh at the pub, we laugh at the beach. It's all right to laugh. You can let your personality come forward in the life of church. Amen? So whether you're worshiping on stage, you're helping with kids, you're helping set up, enjoy life. Enjoy, in the beginning of a new year, experiencing a fresh start, enjoy life. That's what I would say to you. If you get nothing else out of today, God gave you your life. He filled you with His, He wants you to walk through every day of your life enjoying it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's why He sent the Holy Spirit to be with you, to help you. Amen? Fantastic. All right. So I'm going to start with a reasonably lengthy piece of scripture. And I want to do that. And then what I want to do is just look at some biblical perspective of what a fresh start looks like. Because you can talk about a fresh start, you can talk about resolutions, you can talk about crossing over, letting go. But what's my example from the Bible? Who got fresh starts in the Bible? What did it look like? What did it entail? So I want to do that. But in Galatians 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "So Christ has truly set us free." You got to read your Bible. Honestly, this stuff, everywhere, I'm reading the word, and it, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery of the Lord. If you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, if you've stepped into life in Christ, accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then you've got freedom in your world. It's been offered to you. And I say offered to you because you need to take a hold of it and apply it to your life. I can't say that I'm free but live like I'm bound. I have to live a new way. I have to live a different way. But I love this because it is the Apostle Paul saying, so Christ has truly set us free. When the enemy, when our family, when people who knew us in the past try to explain why we can't be free because of our history or because of what we've experienced or because of what we've walked through, you need to understand that you can block that out and you can go, no, I am free because I've been set free by Christ. That's pretty cool. But then it goes on to say, actually do this, everybody say, I am free. I'm free from my past. I'm free from my failures. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from anxiety. I'm free from being bound. I'm free. Now believe it. I'm free. You're free. You don't have to be who you used to be. You know, and here's the deal. We all need to accept this. We all need to make changes in our world in accordance and in line with the Word of God. If the Bible says you're free, you're free. Now we have to start living free. The declaration is there, the intention's there, but now I have to do something to apply that freedom to my life. I have to think differently, I have to see differently, I have to speak differently, and therefore my future will unfold before me in accordance to those things. Amen? It says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this, if you are counting on circumcision, Old Testament law, to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I say it again, if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. So like Justin was saying before, we like some parts of the law and some parts of the Bible, but not other parts. This part suits, but this part's a little abrasive. This part's easy, but this part takes a whole lot of effort. But here it's saying you can't live under law and grace. Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to replace the law by grace. Now it's not law set on tablets of stone. Now it's law written on my heart. And I live as I do because I believe in, and I'm in Christ, and I understand that by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can live righteous. I can live with integrity. I can live generously. I can step into what God has for, but it's not under law that I do it. I don't do it out of obligation. I do it out of love. It can't be both. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised for us. For when we place our faith in Christ, there's no benefit in being circumcised outward, or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. What's important in life, as I step into a new day and a fresh start, is that I exercise faith through love. I love my neighbor. I love myself. I love where I am in life, and I express that through faith that God, no matter if it's not where I want to be, that you are taking me to that place. Goes on in verse 11, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, If I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. See, here Paul is preaching Jesus. He's preaching freedom through Jesus, life through Jesus, deliverance through Jesus, new day, fresh start through Jesus. It's not by law, and he was being persecuted by the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, the scribes of the day. He was being persecuted because he was saying, you can have a new start in Christ. You can walk into a new day. You can see, because for a lot of us, we're bound by what we've known and what we've experienced and what's been spoken over our world. But I want to tell you, and like I said, last day that we're focusing on this, next week's Vision Sunday. We're getting a vision. We've stepped over into. We've broken through. We've drawn a line in the sand, and we're in a new day. Now we're setting vision and course for the year ahead. God, this is where we're going. This is what we want to do. We know you're calling us in this direction. So we've got to deal with the past. We've got to deal with words. We've got to deal with emotions and mindsets and what we've thought for a long time. And we can't get religious. We've got to stay relational. Okay, the law is religious, but grace is relational. He says, I've done this for you. Just accept it. Can you just accept what I've done for you? Because you couldn't pay the price anyway. You couldn't go to that place of the depths of hell to conquer death and sin, to rise again so that you in and of yourself can be freed from the past and sin and everything that's held on to you. I've done that for you. So my grace is sufficient for you. That's what the word says. But you just need to take hold of it through relationship. Amen? Goes on to say, I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. So you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. That's great language. The Apostle Paul saying, you have been called to live in freedom. Why are you living bound? Why are you living locked up? Why are you living limited to your future when you were created? You were created and put on this planet to live free because of Jesus Christ. And he's calling us family, he's calling us brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. I know this is a lot of scripture, but I think it's going to help us this morning. Is that all right? Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring each other, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guard your lives, coming back to the source, stop and drop, cut and run. Let the Holy Spirit empower you for this life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Have you ever felt like that? Just had that internal conflict. I know what's right, but I want to do wrong. I know where I should go, but I really want to go here. Paul said that. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I should do, I don't do. It's like, what's going on? There is contention. There is an internal fight, but we can have victory over it when we continually come back to the source. When we don't let our earthly, flawed man nature take control, but we wait and live by the Spirit. We can take control and we can move forward righteously in Christ. Nearly there, hang in there. It says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, everybody say but. The Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, these kind of fruits in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the fruit of the Spirit produces, I don't know about you, but I would like to live that way. And I don't live that way every day. I would like to live that way, but the fruit of the Spirit. So Christian has to get out of Christian, stop doing, I got to decrease that he can increase. So I have to work on things in me. You know, and sometimes you can't see the things yourself that you need to work on. Melissa's lately has said, Christian, you need to work on this area, and this area. And you know what? Here's the deal. She's right. I can't see it, and it hurts, and I don't want to hear it, but she's right. So I got to work on those areas, let those areas die so that Christ can resurrect in me his nature and what he wants me to do and how he wants me to act in those circumstances. Amen? Come on, none of us are immune. We're all there. We're all human. Same flesh. We make the same mistake, but together we can move forward. Together we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, there is no law against these things. Those who belong in Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us follow the leading of the Spirit in every part of our lives. Wow. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. I love that. A fresh start, a new beginning always begins with a fresh connection to the source, the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have some time at the end of this service. I'm going to open the altar and invite you forward to come and connect again, to connect afresh with the Holy Spirit and power. Because I can see you smiling and I can see you worshiping and lifting your hands, and that's awesome. But some of you are hurting on the inside. I'd say probably all of us in some area of our world need a fresh injection of Holy Spirit power to help us move forward in life, to help us not only to walk out those new resolutions that we made. Because what did we say? After 21 days, 91% of people have failed in their New Year's resolutions. Do you know what I mean? So we're on, what day are we on? 24. So we're past that anyway. We got 9% of people still holding on to their resolution. Anyway, we don't really. So, but it's, we need the Holy Spirit. For the old to leave and the new to come, you need to do life in Holy Spirit power. Amen? Don't have to wait till tomorrow to get a fresh start. Today you can be free. It's by Christ that we've been set free. Today, in your passions, in your lifestyles, in your relationships, in your vocation, you can be free today. And we all think we've got tomorrow. We all think, but there's a great saying, don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. So on Thursday, a friend of mine, I've sat with many times, I've spoken to, a youth pastor in Adelaide, is on a youth camp. 36, 4 kids, beautiful wife. He's a youth pastor at an amazing, thriving church in Adelaide. On camp with 400 kids, gets struck by lightning and drops dead. The Bible says we know not the day nor the hour. And this is not fear-mongering, this is anything. Don't put off till tomorrow what you could do today. Don't apologize tomorrow when you could today. Don't tell somebody you love them tomorrow, tell them today. Don't move on from past hurts tomorrow. Do it today, do it now. Just let it go. Let there be forgiveness flowing from you, grace flowing from you, generosity flowing from you, so that we live in the moment, not only for tomorrow. Amen? You know, you might be here this morning saying, but how do you know, Christian, that God wants me to have a fresh start? You don't know me. You don't know my history. You don't know my family and my background. You don't know what I've done, the sins that I've committed, the mistakes that I've made. How do you know that God wants me to have a fresh start? Good question. Let's have a look at the Bible. Amen? Is that all right? Is this helping anybody? It says in Luke 19, there's a great story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a notorious tax collector who stole from everybody and made their life hell. If there was a tax of 10%, he took 40. He just implied pressure and weight. And the first thing, Jesus comes to Jericho, he's walking through the crowds, he's doing miracles, he's setting people free, and he sees Zacchaeus sitting up in a tree. He says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I need to come and have dinner with you. The story goes on to say that at dinner, Zacchaeus has a change of heart because he's in the presence of God. And he says, if I've stolen anything from anybody, he'd stolen from everybody, but if I've stolen anything from anybody, I'm going to repay back 4 times what I've taken from them. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to your house. Today, and it wasn't a prayer, it was, so he received a new start through forgiveness. You might be here today and you need forgiveness for something. It's, you haven't done more than Zacchaeus did. You haven't gone beyond God's grace for your life. You're not under law, you're under grace, and his forgiveness can flow toward you. You can have a new start, because if he did it for him, he can do it for you. You see, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect one more than the other. He says, if you've got faith, if you will bring faith to me, you can have all the promises of God, that they can be yes and amen to you. So you might be here this morning going, I can't have a fresh start because I've messed up so bad and I need forgiveness. Well, there's your reason why you can today. If God would express freedom there, he'll express it towards you. He's always entering our brokenness and offering us wholeness. He's always our messed up state, now messed up, you know, because we all do. We make mistakes, but he wants to bring wholeness. There's a great, story in Daniel 6, starting in verse 10. It's a story of Daniel. The king has made a decree because of evil men coming and talking in his ears that nobody will worship any other god for 30 days. If they do, they'll be thrown in the lion's den. One of the most cruel punishments was to be thrown in the lion's den where you were devoured and ripped apart. And what happens is Daniel, he hears the decree. It's written, it's put in a seal, and it will not be changed. These guys come and say, "We found Daniel praying. You said nobody would pray to any other god for this 30-day period, and we've found Daniel." It says that the king was devastated because he loved Daniel. He didn't want Daniel to be fed to the lions. But what happens here is he gets thrown in the lion's den. Literally, the Bible describes that usually people didn't even hit the den floor before they were torn apart. And it wasn't just the person that was thrown, it was generally their families as well. And it says that the king did not sleep at all that night. He was troubled in spirit. So he came rushing to the den the next morning. And this is what it says in verse 21. The king's cried out to him, "Daniel, Daniel." It says, "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before God. And also O king, I have done no wrong before you.'" Daniel had a fresh start because he received deliverance. He was delivered from his attackers. He was delivered from the storm. He was delivered from, what was presenting to him as certain death. You might be in a place where you go, I cannot get out of this. I need deliverance. I need supernatural intervention. I want to submit to you today that, like Daniel, you can be delivered. It doesn't matter if there's roaring lions. It doesn't matter if there's waves that are mounting. It doesn't matter if there's giants presenting themselves. You can walk today in freedom and a fresh start because God will deliver you through your challenges. Amen? Come on, work with me this morning. You know, the next one is David. Who knows the story of David and Goliath? David and Goliath, it's 1 Samuel 17. I want to encourage you to read the whole chapter through. It's phenomenal. It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture. I usually cross-reference 1 Samuel 17 with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I look at it like that's David's scripture. And that's David saying that. It's not, but that's the way I look at it. And he turns up on the scene and he realizes that nobody else is going to do anything. Nobody else is going to take on this giant. Nobody else is going to stare him down. We know the story, right? And he goes, "I can. I can do this. I want to challenge you this morning that you and God are the majority. You and God can get victory. You and God can make it to the other side. You and God can bring down giants in your world. You can get a fresh start and bring down giants that perhaps have held you back your entire life. But today you can be free in God." I love what it says in verse 48. It says, "So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine." You got a 10-foot giant. You've got armor bearers. You've got weapons. You've got swords. You've got shields. Then you've got what the Bible describes as a ruddy, good-looking shepherd boy with a sling and a stone. He's got a sling and a stone, but he's not held back by his past. He's not held back by his training. He's not held back by what others have said. He's running forward in faith. He's running towards this giant, and he says, "You know what? I've brought down the lion, and I've brought down the bear, and you're going to be like one of them. I'm gonna enter into victory because God is going to lead me into victory." Corinthians says, "But thanks be to God that brings us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, if we are in Christ, we are in victory. You can have a fresh start and a new day because you can get victory over your enemies, victory over your circumstance, victory over yourself this morning. Perhaps you need to repent. You know, the definition of repentance is agreeing with God against yourself. That hurts. Like that hurts because I want to be right and I think I'm right. But usually I'm just wrong, and God is always right. So when we can agree with God, then we can get victory even over ourselves and over our temper and over our attitudes and over our actions and over our what we can get victory in our own worlds, which will then lead to victory in other areas of our worlds. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out the stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. He cut off the giant's head with his own sword. I love that. God's got a sense of humor. He'll lead you into a battle that seems insurmountable. He'll lead you into victory, and then he'll give you the weapons you need in that moment to slay the very thing that's been telling you it's going to take your life. There's nothing, no weapon formed against you can prosper. No weapon, when you're in Christ and you're walking clothed, empowered of heaven by the Holy Spirit, nothing can take you out. You are marked of God. He sets his angels around your world. You'll face some challenges, you'll face some pressures, but you can overcome in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so that's victory. I need victory in my world. Well, you can have victory. What about healing? You don't understand. I've walked with a challenge for so long. I've walked with a condition for so long. I've been told this and I've been told that. Well, what about the woman with the issue of blood? You know, it says here in Luke 8:43, it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. For 12 years she'd faced this. You may have been facing health issues for a long time now. I'm telling you, you can step into your new day and you can step into a day of healing because God has done it. And if he's done it before, he'll do it again. Having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with her said, Master, the multitudes throng around you and press all against you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus says, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. God wants you healed. He wants you made whole. He doesn't want you held back by the thing that has occupied mental space and spiritual space and has caused fear to come into your world. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Be anxious. I want to encourage you today, be anxious for nothing but step into faith. Be anxious for nothing but step into progression in life and moving forward and living despite your circumstances. You know, there's a great saying that most men die when they're 30 and we bury them when they're 80. They just die in their circumstance. They die in their condition and they start existing rather than living. God wants you to truly live. He wants you to experience and enjoy all that every day has for you. Amen? Two more. Is this all right? I might get to come back up, Loz. So that's healing. We need healing. But what about mercy? What about when I've really stuffed up? What about when I've really made a mistake? What about when I've gone against God and I've gone against others and I've made the biggest mistake I could? What about then? I can't get a fresh start from that. Well, the Bible says you can. There's a great story of a woman that's caught in the act of adultery. I don't know how you get caught in the act of adultery unless there's perverts or it's a setup or it's some other thing. I don't know how that happens because it says all the scribes and Pharisees brought this woman. I don't know where the man was, but I don't know where these guys came from. Anyway, but the scribes and the Pharisees bring this woman to Jesus. That's a serious crime. That's a big crime. It was a crime in their time that deserved death. And they came and they threw this woman naked on the ground and said, Jesus, this woman's been caught in the... In other words, she needs to die. She deserves death. And we're going to inflict it. What do you say? What do you say? They didn't care about her. They didn't care about Jesus. They cared about their law. But we've been freed from the law. Now we live under grace. So I can have a fresh start because it's now no longer that. This is what Jesus said. He who is without sin cast the first stone. Do you know it doesn't matter what people think about you? It doesn't matter what others have said about you. It doesn't matter what you've been labeled. It doesn't matter, you know, that you've been lied about. It doesn't matter that people have declared you to be certain things and not other things. We can come to Jesus, lying in our nakedness, in the middle of sin, and have his forgiveness come towards us. We can receive mercy from the King. And in verse 10 it says this, when Jesus raised himself, because he just got down, just started writing in the dirt. These guys have come to cast aspersion and to kill this woman. They didn't care if she died. They could still stay in their religious law because that was part of the law. And they would kill this woman, but stay within their law. Yeah. I got to tell you, I love grace. I love that we live in a dispensation of grace. So they've thrown her down in the ground and Jesus just ignores them. Jesus, what should happen to this woman? He just starts writing in the sand. He says, he who is without sin, you cast the first stone, knowing that nobody was. And then he just thud, thud, thud. Because they all came prepared. They had their rocks. They were ready to do the deed and kill this woman. They'd set up. Jesus looks up. He says this. When Jesus raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you, she said. As she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. I don't condemn you. go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Can I tell you here, there is mercy available for each and every one of us. But the mercy is contingent on sinning no more. We can receive mercy from God, but then He expects change in our lives. We may have messed up, we may have stuffed up, we have made the biggest mistakes ever, we may have wrecked relationships, we may have whatever it is, but we can step into mercy this morning and receive a fresh start. But God does expect of us that we'll turn and walk in the other direction, away from that sin or whatever that condition was. Amen? What do you have to do to receive a fresh start from God? What do you have to do to open up a new day over your world? Just receive it. Just receive it. That's all you have to do. What happens after that point is what happens up, but just receive it. It says here in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. Just come to me. Not religion, not law. Come to me, the person. Come to me, your heavenly Father. Come to me, the one who loves you and who sits with arms wide open, ready to receive. Just come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll take your pressures. I'll take your weights. I'll take your sin and your fear and your anxiety and your... I'll take that from you. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my rest and my peace. Come to me. It says in Ephesians 2, maybe we could just close our eyes. It says in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not the works of man, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For by grace you have been saved by faith. By grace, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the unmerited favor, by grace you have been saved through faith. Thank you, Jesus. Just while every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You may want to go, I need freedom. I need a new day in a certain area of my life. You've named a whole lot, Christian. There's a whole lot more to be named. But I need the touch of God in my world afresh today. I need a fresh start. I need a new day. For me to be able to see clearly towards my future, I know that that's the decision and the step that I have to take. We're going to do this a little differently this morning, but if that's you, just lift your hand, because I want to acknowledge you and I want to pray for you this morning. We are going to open this altar up and sing another worship song through, and the team's going to come and pray for you. But I just want you to say, yeah, that's me. I need a fresh start. Thank you. Who else is this one? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need a fresh start. I need a touch from God. I need to know that my past has been washed away and I can truly look towards and dream for my future. Who else is there this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Well, what we're going to do, let's stand to our feet this morning, church. We're going to worship again. And what I'd love you to do, those people that raised your hands and those that didn't, I'd love you to come forward and fill this altar. We're going to take 5 minutes to worship God, pray together, and just believe for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, our minds, our hearts, our physical bodies, that we can run hard towards the vision that God's got for us this year. Amen? Come on.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Noosa podcast. Visit us online at c3noosa.org.